Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in. We have a really important show for you today. Well, all you have to do is look around, and maybe even look around in your heart, and you know that fear and anxiety are real issues, issues among Christians and non-Christians alike. In fact, I'm thinking it's more prevalent these days among Christians than non-Christians. Why would you suppose that is? Well, I think part of it is the culture, the times we live in, and we have a very real enemy who's targeting the saints of God. And we have a plan, though. We've got a purpose. God has given us his promises, his great and precious promises. Why? So we can participate in the divine nature. We have an answer, and we need to be wrestling with this thing so that we can show a countenance of faith and of peace in troubled times so that others will ask about the hope that's within us. And but I want you to know there's no condemnation. I've been super honest. If you listen often enough, fear and anxiety have been things I have dealt with my whole adult life. I've come so far. I've got a little ways to go. But man, the freedom that I know now makes me want it for all of us. And that's why I'm so excited today to talk to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley. She's written the book, Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. We will get her on here in just a moment. A couple quick announcements. I'm thrilled that Faith Radio is growing and going into new places, new markets. And if you're listening in on one of our new markets, one of our new FM signals, I want to hear from you. Maybe you're checking in from 89.1 FM in Bismarck or 94.1 FM in Hartford. Maybe you're listening in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. That's not a new signal, but I just know we get new listeners from our Florida signal, our Florida outlet. So tell me if you're brand new to Live the Promise. I want to hear from you. Or Waterloo, let's see here, that's 104.7. Is that right? In Madison, 90.7. I'm getting these backwards. 93.1 FM is Waterloo. 104.7 FM is Madison. And then our Twin Cities outlets, 90.7 FM, 97.5 FM. Anyway, if you're listening that way or streaming online, let me know about it. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put new listener in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. About every week, I like to draw a couple of names from our new listeners and send you some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. Also, if you'd like a welcome packet, we've got a really awesome welcome packet that just shows you what we're about, kind of gives you our program lineup, and you can request that on our website. It's free, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley has practiced medicine for more than 25 years as board certified in obstetrics and gynecology and reproductive endocrinology. She makes her home in Austin, Texas, where she enjoys being a grandma, Grandma Carol, to four wonderful children, and we're grateful and honored to have you with us today, Dr. Carol. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm honored here to be with you, Susie, on Faith Radio and Live the Promise. I love this title that you've chosen for your program, Live the Promise, and I love your reference to what Peter said as you opened the show. You referenced Peter's comments about how we live with the promises that God has given to us. I think we need that so much in the times in which we're living. Thanks for this privilege.
Thank you. So honored to speak with you. And as I kind of wrote in my notes as I was working my way through your great book, I'm so excited to hear your perspective as a Christ follower, as a doctor, as a woman who stands on God's promises. I'm just excited to hear from someone like you, and this book is so good. So, friends, I should let you know we've got three copies of Dr. Carol's book. We're not taking calls today, but you can get in on the drawing this way. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put fear and anxiety or Dr. Carol in the subject line, and then remind me of your mailing address. So, Dr. Carol, we love to start every day talking scripture, and I'm wondering if you have a life verse that you just love to pray through, or maybe one you're just pondering these days. Doesn't even have to connect with our content today, but we just love the Word of God. Any verse that's on your mind these days?
Oh, I love Isaiah 61, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon me. When we are going through tough times, it makes such a difference when we remember the outcome. we are in the middle of a war, but we know the end of the story. Whatever the circumstances are going on around us, we know the end of the story, and the end of the story is Jesus wins.
Amen.
And focusing on that makes such a difference as we go through this middle time.
Indeed, and amen. Wow. Well, if you're okay with it, Dr. Carroll, as much as you feel comfortable sharing, I would love some of your own backstory, your faith journey, and how God brought you to where you are today.
Oh, thanks for asking that, Susie. Yes, I'm happy to share that. I grew up in church. I went to church from the time I was, a baby. I read the Bible from the time that I could read. But I really didn't know Jesus. When I was a young adult, actually, I just basically finished my medical training and was just on the verge of entering into practicing medicine. I went through a period of incredibly severe distress. It was only by the grace of God that I was able to keep my medical practice. I became incredibly dysfunctional. Some of that was my dysfunctional family background. Some of that was the circumstances that were surrounding me, and very much the things I did not understand about living in our troubled world. That went on for a few years. About 3 years into that time of just incredible torment and dysfunction, I met Jesus.
Hmm.
Although I knew about God, I didn't know him personally. And that moment, I will never forget, it was Good Friday night. I was at a service, at a particular service, and that Good Friday, I met Jesus. And that's my spiritual birthday every year.
Wow.
But at that point, it was like God could start getting through to me. I could start hearing his voice, and all the clutter in my mind, there was some peace and there was some direction that God was able to speak to me through that. And over about the next year or so, God grew me up a lot, cleaned me up a lot. And through all of that process, I learned many of the principles that actually are some of the backstory in this very book, Overcoming Fear and Anxiety. So that was the personal foundation of what led me to, frankly, some of the research that this book is built on.
Oh, love that. Thank you so much for sharing. And in the introduction of your book, you open with stories about prisoners of war. As much as you're able, will you tell us that story and then what we can learn from it?
General Vice Admiral Stockdale was shot down as a fighter pilot over Vietnam. He was the highest-ranking U.S. military official that ended up being imprisoned in the infamous Hanoi Hilton prisoner of war camp. As the highest-ranking official imprisoned there, he took it upon himself to do all he could to help the other Americans imprisoned there make it through unbroken. He was kept there for over 8 years. He made an enormous impact on the other men in that environment. After he was and the other men were rescued, the principles that he relied on and learned through that process became known as the Stockdale Paradox. That is part of the training that all U.S. military that could potentially be deployed in a war zone are now taken through. The Stockdale Paradox says, retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties, and at the same time, confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be. I think many times we as humans, and especially we as believers, can fall onto one side of that or the other. We will either focus solely on retaining faith, which of course we need. We absolutely must have faith that we are on the winning side, that Jesus has won and we are winning with him. Or on the other side, we pay so much attention to the surroundings around us, how troubled they are, and our mind stays focused on the problems. The Stockdale Paradox says we need both. We need faith in the outcome and reality about our present circumstances. I believe that's biblical.
Amen.
I believe when you take the whole of Scripture, that is one way of expressing what God is asking of us too. We know the end of the story, as we talked about just a few minutes ago. We also know incredibly practical things that we need to do right now in taking care of our lifestyle, in learning spiritual warfare, and all of that. So that's kind of the overall framework on which this book is built, acknowledging the absolute 100% guarantee of our victory in the end, and at the same time learning practical ways in which we can make it through the troubles that we face.
Amen. As you're talking, Dr. Carol, I'm thinking of Romans 4 that describes Abraham. It's exactly that Stockdale principle. And I wrote a paraphrase prayer that I just pray all the time. And out of what Abraham did, but without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. But he didn't waver in unbelief regarding the promises of God. In fact, he was strengthened in his faith. I mean, you see the contrast of these two. It's laid out right there in Romans 4 as it describes Abraham. And boy, if we could get a hold of that, going, yep, I'm facing the fact this is true, but truer still is a God who saves and a God of miracles. And wow, love that. Thank you so much. Well, we have a break coming up here in just a moment, but can you start by defining anxiety for us?
It's a response of your mind and your body to circumstances that are outside your normal ability to cope. It's a feeling of apprehension and fear. There's almost always physical symptoms that go along with it, feelings of stress. This is something that affects at least 1 in 5 individuals that go to see a general doctor, for example. It's incredibly common. And I think so many of us, even beyond the levels that might need medical care, we all struggle with certain levels of fear and anxiety. And so these techniques that we talk about, these strategies, these understandings, can apply whether it's a large amount or a small amount of fear and anxiety that you're wrestling with.
So good. We're going to pause here. I'm talking to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley. Her book is titled Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. We're going to talk about, and when we come back, just the effects on our body of undealt with anxiety and fear. So how do you deal with it? What is the source of it? How does our mind play in? How about our lifestyle? We'll talk about all those things when we come back. Would love to get your name in on the drawing for a copy of Dr. Carol's book. Email Live the Promise at myfaithradio.com. Put Dr. Carol in the subject line, and then don't forget your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing, and 3 of you will win a copy of the book. Probably within a week, you'll see it in your mailbox. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. I don't know where you've been, what you've done, what's been done to you, but if you battle fear and anxiety, the cross does change everything. And love heals us. Jesus' love heals us and delivers us. So glad you tuned in. I'm talking to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley today. Title of her book is Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. Got 3 copies to give away today. If you want in on the drawing, just email livethepromise at myfaithradio.com. Put Dr. Carol in the subject line and remember that mailing address, and we'll draw 3 names. So, Dr. Carol, you noted in the book that when you're in a state of anxiety, that your feelings can often feel more pronounced even than your thoughts, like your feelings upstage even what you're thinking. Explain that dynamic, if you would.
When you are overwhelmed with stress, and anxiety is an appropriate word to describe how your mind and body respond, you can think of it as fight or flight response that many of us are aware of. And in that state, your conscious mind may struggle to even think clearly. Your feelings of impending doom or something about to happen, you may or may not know what you're afraid of or anxious about. That overwhelming feeling can even cloud your ability to think clear thoughts. When you sense that, it's kind of like a red flag. Use that as a signal that it's time to do something about it. Sometimes the source is something that you understand. Sometimes you know what circumstances may be bringing that sense of fear and anxiety, and so you know what to deal with. If you don't, if the source isn't immediately clear, at least that sense of being overwhelmed can cause you to pause, maybe get some help. There's certainly people around us that God has placed in our world, you know, friends, professionals, pastor, any number of sources to get input on. It can just be a great red flag to say, I need to pause and do something about whatever is going on.
You know, I've read and heard there's times, too, where you can be sitting there and this has actually happened to me in the past when I've walked through hard times physically, where I'm worshiping and reading God's word, I'm happy in Jesus, but then a surge of anxiety comes to my body. And I can look back, and one of the doctors had said, when you've gone through prolonged trial and your serotonin is depleted, you can have these involuntary surges of anxiety that have nothing to do with what's going on in your head, what's going on in your life, and it's going on in your body. But it's like they don't always match up at the moment. I mean, sometimes it's even catch up, isn't it?
You're mentioning something that I talk about in the chapter on circumstances. Our past has an effect. We are vulnerable human beings, and God created us, body, mind, and spirit, as an integrated whole. What affects one part of us affects all the other parts. So even if your present day circumstances are great, things from the past have created pathways in your mind, in your nervous system, in your body, and those can be triggered by things you may not be aware of, or just time. You may never be even aware of what that trigger is, and can bring up those feelings from the past as though you were in that circumstance right now. I want to say that that is something I experienced in a large measure. I can also affirm that both personally and as a physician and as a doctor of ministry, that the life God has available to us includes healing from that. Hmm. We can't always predict how or in what measure, but I want to be clear to listeners that if those circumstances from the past are still haunting you, you don't have to remain a victim. We can look at those realities of how we are responding with honesty, like in the Stockdale paradox we mentioned, but seeking healing is real. Myself, I have to make a conscious choice to think back and remember how painful and dysfunctional my life was at that point some years ago. I don't live with that overwhelming me every day now. That is truly in my past. And so I want to point our listeners to remember that true healing is something that God can bring you.
Well, I love that, and it's just so full of hope, Carol, and you're a walking, breathing testimony of that. I'd love, if you don't mind, just talk to us about what were some of the most significant catalysts to your own personal healing, because God wants to partner with us, and some of it involves us, some of it involves engaging our faith because we're relying on Him too. What did that look like for you?
Thanks for asking that, Susie, and I can reference two. Among the many things I learned, two stand out. One was I learned that I could choose what I thought about. I could choose my thoughts. Now, none of us do this perfectly, but that is in line with what Paul asks us to do in Philippians 4:8. You probably all know the scripture, whatever things are honest and just and pure and true, think on these things. It's also in line with what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I learned that when thoughts were overwhelming me or feelings were coming that were bringing negative thoughts, that I had a large measure of choice over where I directed my mind. I believe that's a skill that all of us do well to learn. Our thoughts are powerful. Now, they are not all powerful. This is not mind over matter. Our thoughts cannot do everything. But I believe that the vast majority of us attribute too little importance to our thoughts rather than too much. Mm-hmm. And just simply following those biblical directions in choosing our thoughts, not only the topic that we think about, but even specifically what we think about that, can make a huge difference. And if Susie, if I could just potentially give an example. If I lost my job, say, and I don't have income right now, obviously, that's going to be an overwhelming, stressful circumstance. I could think, I'm too old. I don't have any skills for today's job market. Nobody's going to hire me. It takes too much effort. I'm just depressed and overwhelmed, and I'm just going to give up. On the converse, I can still, in thinking about that topic, reframe my thoughts about that. I can say, yes, I've lost my job right now, but I know more today than I knew however long ago when I first got that job. The circumstances that I've been through, the skills that I've learned can prepare me for things that I wasn't even prepared for before. I'm grateful that God has still given me a measure of physical health and connections with the people around me that perhaps open doors that I would have never been able to notice if I still had that job. I'm going to pray. I'm going to reach out to my contacts and make every effort to cooperate with God in finding or creating a new income. You choose what you think, even about the troubled circumstances.
Mm. So you said you did two things. So one was reigning in your thoughts. What was your second piece of advice?
The second one was learning about spiritual warfare. Mm. I know this is a later chapter in the book than you're referencing, but I think this so applies to what I learned in coming out of my time of dysfunction. I learned that staying under the protection of the blood of Jesus could change everything. I remember a friend at the time helped me learn what pleading the blood of Jesus meant. That was a very hard thing for me to learn, and I resisted it at first. But as I started to plead the blood of Jesus over my own life and mind and heart, I experienced some incredible freedom and joy and victory, and my life became just turned 180 degrees around. That went on for months, and I was just overjoyed. Thank you, Lord, for all this joy and freedom that you are bringing me. After several months, I thought, great, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to do that part of my spiritual life with you every day. I appreciate all that you've done, but I don't have to do that anymore. How wrong I was. It wasn't more than just a few weeks later when all my symptoms started to come back. I was swirling down into the pit of my dysfunction again, and I became terrified that I would end up back where I had recently been. I will never forget the morning in the shower when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was as clear as anything I've ever heard from the Lord. And it was as if the Spirit said to me, "You're not protected. You stopped pleading the blood of Jesus." And now, pleading the blood of Jesus has become a daily part of my spiritual life with God and has remained so for 20 years. Now, I don't believe there's any magic in specific words, but I do believe what Revelation says when he describes the saints as overcoming him, the enemy, through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we do that by verbally applying the blood of Jesus to our lives.
Well, Dr. Carroll, when we come back, I want you to even unpack that a bit more for someone maybe who stumbled on the dial today and doesn't understand even what the Bible means and what the blood of Jesus means, why that's a protection for us. We're also going to talk about just some of the physiological aspects of undealt with fear and anxiety and why it's worth wrestling for this thing, because Jesus did offer us victory. Overwhelming victory belongs to us because we belong to him. Talking to Dr. Carroll today, her book is titled Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. We've got three copies. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com to get in on the drawing, and we will be back in a minute. God wants you well. He wants you free. He wants you free from anxiety and fear. He wants you to walk in a fullness and a wholeness that he offers. You know, these are some of the benefits of those who belong to Christ Jesus. Not to say it doesn't come without a fight. It definitely does. The enemy knows his time is short. And I don't know, it seems like he's unleashing epidemic levels of fear and anxiety. I'm really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Dr. Carroll Peters-Tanksley. She's an obstetrics, gynecology doctor, reproductive endocrinology. She also has a doctorate in ministry. I think she's very qualified to talk on this. And the title of her book is Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. And before the break, Dr. Carroll, you were talking about your own battle with fear and anxiety and how one of the two things that were really key for you just coming out of that and knowing a flourishing was, one, choosing thoughts. And it's just a skill and a discipline and something we have to practice at. But two, you said, was the spiritual warfare aspect of this, of pleading the blood of Jesus over your life every day. And I was just saying, somebody maybe stumbled on the dial today, maybe new in their faith, and don't know exactly what you're talking about. Can you unpack that a bit more?
Certainly. Thanks for asking about spiritual warfare, Susie. And I want to begin by saying that we can get so tied up in specific techniques when we talk about spiritual warfare or tools or words. And it's not about that. It's not about the techniques. It's about standing firmly on God's side. Spiritual warfare is not about flinging around spiritual weapons when some circumstance or person is making your life difficult. It's not about power or anything like that. We live in a world, in a universe, where the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness are at enmity with each other. They are against each other. And our enemy, the devil, hates our Father with violence. And we get in the crossfire in that battle between good and evil. Our job is not to go out there and defeat the devil. Jesus did that at the cross. When Jesus came to earth and died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, that made solid and permanent the victory of God over the kingdom of darkness. Our role is to make our choice to stand on God's side and stay there. Spiritual warfare at its core is primarily about who you and I will obey and love and honor and worship and follow and trust and believe. That's what it is about at its core. The things that we do in our spiritual life, such as pleading the blood of Jesus, are part and flow out of our choice to stand on God's side. So it's not the necessarily specific word or whatever, but I just want to highlight how important the foundation there is of our choice to be on God's side. And that's the root of what all of this is about at its core.
Wow, fantastic explanation, Dr. Carroll. I'd love for you to explain, if you could, the physiological, emotional, and even relational impact of undealt with fear and anxiety. I mean, the ripple effect, how it affects our emotions, our own physiology, but even ripples out into how we show up in relationships.
Oh, it does. It makes us much less available for the reality of right now. It makes us less aware of the needs of people around us, less physically able to handle the normal ups and downs of life. It makes us more vulnerable to illnesses. I very briefly just referenced at the beginning that one in five adults that goes to see a general medical doctor has enough anxiety to qualify for a diagnosis of it, let alone the lower levels, and that can impact our cardiovascular system, our immune system. Chronic pain is often related. Our GI system is very, very sensitive, for example, to fear and anxiety. We're less able to handle the emotional stress that can come just with either small or large circumstances of life. We see other people differently. It impacts our ability to relate to family and friends. I believe it even colors how we see God if we're not very careful about that. Now, God is patient with us. He takes whatever pile of stuff we have to deal with, and this kind of conversation and talking about the scriptures that we are today is part of what he brings us to walk through that. So none of this is a surprise to him, but it really does affect all those aspects of our life.
You know, and I would think that there are tendencies towards anxiety and then there are actual anxiety disorders. Would that be right? And if so, make the distinction.
Yes. Many of us may have a genetic predisposition to fear and anxiety. We're quite sure of that. Researchers have been able to document that there is almost certainly a certain mix of genes that some of us come into life with that make anxiety our default way of handling certain stresses. And then there are certainly the circumstances, what's called state anxiety, the momentary overwhelming stress that can create an anxiety response. And when that combination, when our predisposition and or the circumstances we're in right now rise to a certain level of anxiety, that can qualify for an anxiety disorder. And there are criteria that physicians and psychiatrists use to make that diagnosis. But the actual anxiety disorders are kind of the top tier when our normal mechanisms of handling the stress become overwhelmed.
Hmm. You know, I know of people who've had medicine upon medicine upon medicine, which they've had such side effects that they've felt just despair, that they're almost untreatable, come to find out that much of their trouble was coming from the medicine in itself. And I'm wondering, are there instances where patients actually, of course, need medicine, but maybe lots of instances where they overtreat anxiety today with medicine?
I believe they do. I believe there are too many both individuals with anxiety and physicians that look to a pill to fix things. In my own period of distress, for example, I was on medication for a period of time, and I do believe that there are times when we need medications, but that is a tool to get through the current circumstance. It's not a fix. I believe that that was one way that God used to help keep me alive through that period of time, but it did not get rid of my anxiety. It did not teach me what I needed to learn. And so for someone who is wrestling with whether or not they should be taking a certain medication, I believe that if they do choose to take it, it should be seen as temporary and only as a tool to help them have time to deal with the root causes. And then really during that period of time where they're taking the medication, put the emotional, the lifestyle, the thinking processes in place, grow spiritually to learn some of the things that God's Word says about this whole area, and actively develop those parts of your character so that the time comes when that medication can be tapered off and can become part of your past.
Hmm. So you've talked about the role that our mind plays in just choosing. Nobody can do this for us. We've got to learn and practice and apply ourselves to a renewed thought life and a biblical thought life. How about our lifestyle? I mean, just we've covered health and healing and wholeness on the show plenty of times and talked about high inflammatory foods, you know, the overindulgence of sugar and caffeine and alcohol and different things to get us up and bring us back down again. And we wonder why we feel like we do. But talk more about the whole lifestyle role in the battle of fear and anxiety.
Your brain needs certain fuel. It needs oxygen. It needs healthy protein. It needs a steady supply of unprocessed carbohydrates. When you eat a healthy diet, when you get physical exercise, that gets your brain the oxygen and the nutrition that it needs to function at its best. You can think of your brain and your nervous system in some ways as a computer system. Your brain is the hardware. If you feed your brain bad input, that's like getting viruses downloaded onto your hard drive and it messes up everything. When you make the decision to feed your brain healthy fuel, the output that you get from your brain, the thoughts and emotions that come out of your mind, have a much higher chance of being healthy and positive. And I might also say that this principle of learning to feed yourself, of intentionally choosing what comes into your system, applies to our thoughts as well. We have a choice about the people we spend most of our time with, about the media that we allow into our minds. And that's the same principle of garbage in, garbage out. If you want healthy output, pay attention to what you bring into your mind and do that intentionally.
Hmm. You wrote about this in the book, and we've talked about this on the show before, but we tend to be so, in this society, addicted to our quick results and to treating symptoms and not really wanting to do the work of getting to root causes of things. And God can do anything he wants in an instant, but I've really realized in my own process that we're the ones who need the process. And I feel like I've been changed as God has taken me by the hand to say, look at this, and look how you frame this, and this food isn't good for you. And I've benefited so much from the healing process. lives. Would love to know your thoughts on that, that sometimes this thing takes longer than we like, but God wastes not even a minute in the process.
He doesn't, Susie. He doesn't waste anything if we allow him to have it. I know I have seen that in my own life. Now, this episode that in my past, those years of dysfunction and what I learned through that process that I've talk about in the book, my going through that would not have given me the understanding that I was able to grow into if it had happened in a moment. I would have been grateful. And it's not that God ever likes us to suffer. He doesn't. He hurts with us when we hurt. But the very process of taking us through whatever it is that we need to do in the transformation that he has available for us, that process becomes incredibly valuable in every way, physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. I like the illustration of a broken down car. If any of your listeners are old car buffs, you find an old car, maybe a broken down 57 two-door hardtop that, you know, the engine is rusted and the seats are torn and all the paint is off and the engine hasn't turned over in years, but you love her. You buy her. You take her home to your garage. You tenderly welcome her into your environment, just like God does in whatever state he finds us. We don't have to do anything to make him love us. He welcomes us. He gave his son for us. He embraces us and takes us into his family. But just like with that broken down car, you don't want her to stay that way. You set about sanding and restoring and replacing parts and painting. And some of that process is painful. Some of it's hard, but you know what she can become. God knows what we can become by going through the process. He's right there in the middle of it. There's not a piece of that process that he wastes. And what we can become as a result of that transformation process, which takes time, is so much more glorious. It's a specimen of what the power of God can do. If we allow him the freedom and the time to do that in us, he will. He has promised that. Paul says, I know that the one who I have entrusted my life to, I know who I have believed, and I know he is able to keep what I've given to him. He will finish the good work that he has started in you, in another scripture that he talks about to those he's writing to. God can do it if we give him the ability and the control over our lives. He will take that and make us into something that's glorious.
Isn't that amazing? Such good news. Talking to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley. Her book is titled Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. On the other side, we're going to talk about that though all anxiety seems to feel unpleasant, Dr. Carol says it's not all negative. Then we're going to talk about just some practical aspects of the spiritual warfare part of this battle. How we stand our ground. How do we trust that God's going to finish this work that he started in us? More with Dr. Carol on the other side. Love that song by Hillsong, Not Today. Tell the devil, no, not today. We're talking about fear and anxiety. Part of overcoming is learning how to stand our ground in the authority that Christ gives us. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Talking to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley, and her book is titled Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. She's a medical doctor, but also has a doctorate in ministry. So such an interesting perspective coming from Dr. Carol. And you mentioned in the book that although anxiety pretty much always feels unpleasant, it's not always negative. Say more if you would.
We never, almost never, change for the better when we're comfortable. There's wow. actually been some fascinating research showing that of those people that go through a therapy, for example, with a counselor or a therapist, and make positive change in life, at least 3/4 of them report that they had to embrace some actually increased anxiety for a period of time to really get past the change that they needed to make. We can view anxiety as the fuel necessary to make positive changes in our life. Certainly, anxiety can become too much. And God's word says, be anxious for nothing. So we're not talking about living in anxiety. But there is a dimension when we can embrace that discomfort and use it as fuel to do something positive.
Amen. Wow. And such a difference, because you talked about some have a genetic predisposition, and I don't know if that's something handed down, but you know, it is so interesting how the choices of each generation impacts predisposition of future generations. I mean, all the more reason to draw a line in the sand and say, hey, it stops with me. But I can imagine at times, Dr. Carroll, someone saying, well, I have a genetic predisposition. So almost like owning that to a degree, you know, going back to the Stockdale principle, facing the brutal side of that without facing the hope that you can be an overcomer. Maybe say a word about that, because I think we can use labels at times to our own detriment.
Absolutely. Susie, we all come into this life with a certain bucket of stuff.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that any of us have a license to see ourselves as a victim to whatever that is. And that certainly goes with a predisposition potentially to anxiety. If my parents were murderers, does that give me a license to be a murderer? Now, that's the extreme. But that is the kind of thing that some people can own. And I'm glad you asked that question. God's word still says the same thing. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That scripture does not say, unless you have a genetic predisposition.
Right.
That truth, that word applies to all of us. It just may mean that some of us have to spend a little more of our own energy embracing some of these very truths like we're talking about today.
All right. So let's talk about this spiritual warfare aspect, and love to hear this doctor's insights on the warfare. You say guard your heart, stay connected, and speak up. So start with guard your heart. Unpack that if you would.
Guarding your heart comes from the scripture that Proverbs says, out of the wellspring of your heart, you know, the heart is the wellspring of life. We need to keep the enemy from bringing stuff into our mind and heart to the degree that we can. It's like putting a double deadbolt lock on the door of your home or encrypted passwords on your computer. It doesn't guarantee that thieves or hackers will not impact you or your family, but it makes it a whole lot less likely.
Mm-hmm.
That means choosing the people you spend time around. It means making conscious choices to keep anything evil out of your mind and heart, keeping bitterness and unforgiveness away from your mind, things like that. It includes being aware of when you're under attack, for example, condemnation. The enemy loves to make us feel condemned. That's very different from the conviction of the Holy Spirit that gives you a future and a hope and brings you forward with light. Those kinds of things, paying attention to what's going on in your heart.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then stay connected.
There are people that God puts around us in the body of Christ that we need to go through these battles with. A police officer, a soldier, any first responder in a dangerous situation doesn't do that alone. There are buddies. God has connected you with buddies. They don't do their fighting for you, but you fight together, and that strengthens you. It gives you perspective. It gives you hope. It gives you further protection and energy in moving forward.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then speak up.
Say what God has done for you. Our words have an impact on our own minds, on the people around us, and even in the spiritual realm. Start by speaking the truth of who God is and who He is to you as a person. What has He done for you? I mentioned my own story of pleading the blood of Jesus. That is an additional aspect of how I use my words, and certainly a powerful way in doing that.
Mm-hmm. And you also said, and you touched on this, but part of the healing process involves learning how to listen to our body and to our mind, like it's information. So rather than just numbing out or just trying to get out of that feeling, pay attention and talk more about that.
Your feelings are true. If you feel afraid, that feeling is real, or anxious, or your heart is racing, or you have a headache. Those are all true, but they are not the whole truth. You can choose to acknowledge what is there, what you are feeling, but also then move your mind beyond the feelings that you have to the rest of the truth, what God has to say, the choices that you do have. Even if you can't choose very much, you always have some choices, such as the prisoners of war with the Stockdale paradox that we referenced. You can choose to look at, to say that, yes, I'm afraid, but not stay parked there. That is true, but it is not your whole truth.
I'm going to read an excerpt here and have you comment on it before we wrap and pray. This hour has just whipped right by. You write on the healing journey, and you offer this wonderful insight. The healing that you can expect from such a journey will be uniquely yours, and it will be tailored by God just for you. You will discover strengths you didn't realize you had, things about God you never knew before, and gifts in your own heart that you have to give to others that you never knew were there. I would just love for you to say more about just how uniquely God walks us through this thing and heals us so he can use us in a way that's completely unique to us.
Myself as an example, I would never be able to speak with the understanding and empathy that I can to patients, to listeners right now, or to write in this book about fear and anxiety if I hadn't been through it in my own life. And another recent example for me, my husband died a little over a year and a half ago. I can now, my own healing journey through that grief process, can speak and minister to others that I, in a dimension that I would not have been able to previously. God is the only one who can take our wounds, our brokenness, and turn it into bread whereby others are then fed. When we allow him to take us through that healing journey, that process becomes priceless. It becomes valuable. And it's almost always a piece of what he then asks us to use in ministering to others.
Wow. So sorry about the loss of your husband. And but wow, what a word that is. You're right. He takes those hardships and those heartbreaks and turns it around and uses us in ways we never thought possible. Well, Dr. Carol, I wonder if you pray for that person listening today who's, after hearing you, kind of buoyed up and realizing, I've got a say in this battle. I've got to stand in this battle. God has something for me here. Would you pray for that person?
Oh, yes. Lord Jesus, thank you for touching the hearts of those who are listening right now. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's speaking to them that they don't have to stay stuck in the place of fear and anxiety where they are. The circumstances that they are in the midst of right now don't have to define their future. I ask right now that you show them the thoughts that they can choose to think, the power and strength that your presence can bring to them, and the healing that you have available for them. Let them sense the mission that this journey can fit them for, because of you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for going through the worst that anybody could on the cross for us so that we can live in the freedom and victory and joy that you now make available to us. How priceless. We thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Dr. Carol, this has been fantastic, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again and we can pick up where we left off.
Oh, I would be honored, Susie. Thank you.
Great job. Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley. Her book is titled Overcoming Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. Email if you want in on the drawing, Live the Promise at myfaithradio.com. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, too. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.